something about a river. It's just,
yes.
It's always in motion.
That's right. That's
right. Like our God, you know, he's always doing something.
That's right.
Even when we don't see it, he's working.
That's right. That's right.
What a privilege it is to be a Christian in this hour.
Amen.
I greet you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's kind of such an honor to be here with you. And, you know, I'm so glad it doesn't take 50 or 60 or 100
right.
to bring God on the scene.
But Amen. Right.
Reverend said he'll appear before any honest heart.
Yeah.
Amen. And I believe there's some honest hearts here this morning. So with that, we know that God's able to do exceeding above all that we could ever hope for.
Right.
Amen. I remember one time I was in Chivik, Alaska, way up. It's so far up there that you look at the earth and you see the curvature of the earth. You don't see it. This you see the curve of the earth. And little Eskimo village and this young girl, probably 21, 22, something like that. And she came up and she said, Brother Darrell, I'm an alcoholic. Said, I've tried everything to quit drinking. So I've been through the 9-step program 3 different times. And every time I go back to drinking, she said, I've tried everything. I cannot stop drinking. And I said, sis, have you tried Jesus? I said, you just lay the alcohol here and take his deliverance back to the seat with you. And I began to pray for her. I'll never forget it. She began to scream at the top of her lungs, I'm free. I'm free. I was up there a couple of years ago and she came up to me. She said, Brother Darrell, it's been over 2 years and I'm still sober.
Amen.
Because you see whom the Son hath made free.
Yeah.
It's free indeed.
Yes.
That's right.
What a privilege it is this morning that we're a free people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us to the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Preach in the name of the Lord. We appreciate Brother Tony allowing us to come and be with you this weekend. We trust something said to help you and encourage you. That's truly the reason we come. And sort of appreciate the folks from down in Pawnee coming over to be with us this weekend. And may God richly bless you. Certainly appreciate those cookies that sis made for us, man. Things are really good. Hallelujah. Thank God for cookies. Amen. Make myself laugh. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we want to start reading at verse 10. May the Lord bless you. The Bible says this, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Amen. Now turn with me over to Genesis 22. And we want to read from starting in verse 15. Amen. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. If you've ever been to the beach, that's quite a lot. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Why? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Amen. Let us bow our heads. I want to speak for you just a few minutes this morning. And I know some of you got to travel, so we'll try to just be as quick as we can. But I want to speak to you for just a few minutes on it's time we profess.
Amen.
It's time we profess. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege to gather here with your people today. We appreciate, Lord, all that you've done for us, all that you've ever given us.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, we pray today that you would just take this thought, Lord, and break it to our hearts that we could serve you better. Lord, we ask your blessings upon Brother Tony, the officers here of the church, dear God. And Father, we ask, Lord, if you could hear our humble prayer, that a revival would break out, that would shake this community, Lord, that last seed could be found. And Father, may we labor with everything that's within us for the hours at hand, Lord. And God, we just pray, Lord, that we'd be faithful and true. God, we ask, Lord, that you would just bless those less fortunate than we are today. those on our prayer list, dear God, you see their needs. But Father, there's not a need there greater than you. So we just commit every need to you this morning, asking you to move. For that's just the kind of God you are. Bless your children today, Lord, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, we understand by the scriptures here in verse 17 and 18 of Genesis that Abraham is the father of the faithful. And that we are heirs to the promise through Christ. Amen. Now, the thing about Abraham is we understand that Abraham was just an ordinary man.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, and sometimes we get in our mind that we read of these characters in the Bible, of a David or a Moses or a Daniel. And sometimes people get this image of this great being. And they were great men. I'm not belittling that. But sometimes I think that the Satan wants us to get an image in our mind of something that we could never achieve to.
That's right.
But I want you to understand that these were men just like you and I.
Yeah.
They ate breakfast just like you and I. They put on their clothes just like you and I. But they believed God in the hour that they were living in.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes... Amen. And Abraham was just an ordinary man. And at one time, he was actually an idol worshiper. Just like many of us were.
Sure.
He was an idol worshiper. But what does that tell us about God? It tells us that we serve a God who has transforming power.
Amen.
Now the word transforming means the ability to bring about a dramatic change. And we serve a God this morning who has the ability to bring about a dramatic change. He can transform a drunk to a preacher. I can say amen to that this morning. He can transform a street harlot to a lady. He can transform bitter water and make it sweet.
Yeah.
He can transform a sinner to a saint. He can transform the world when it was dark and void and without form and transform it into a beautiful garden of Eden. That's the transforming power of the Almighty God. The ability to bring about a dramatic change. Amen.
Yeah.
My friend said God can take something that's nothing and make something wonderful out of it, of God's transforming power.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus said one day, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out.
Yeah, right, right.
Now, how can rocks cry out?
Uh-huh.
They ain't got no vocal cords.
Right.
How can that be? And yet he said that. If these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. But you've got to remember, God created the rocks.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you're the creator, you can make creation do what you want it to do.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. And God's going to take with his transforming power, he's going to take these old frail bodies of ours one of these days, and he's going to transform them into young men and women again in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, by the transforming power of the Almighty God.
Yeah.
You say, well, Brother Darrell, I'm young. You know, maybe I feel like you're not going to be cheated, young people, because he's going to take that young body from youth to eternal youth by the transforming power of the Almighty God.
Yes.
Oh my. So then we understand by the Bible that Abraham wasn't looking for God, but God came looking for Abraham.
That's right.
And as Abraham's seed, we can say the same thing this morning. I was never looking for God.
That's right.
He came looking for me.
Yeah.
He came looking for you.
Yeah.
When Adam, the first son, was lost, who came looking for Adam?
Right.
God did.
Yeah.
Then who comes looking for every lost son and daughter of God?
Yep.
God does.
That's right.
We never sought God. It was always God seeking us.
Yeah.
Because God, by his foreknowledge, knew that Abraham would believe him when he spoke.
Yeah.
So God sought out Abraham because he knew he would believe him. And God sought you out.
Yes.
Right.
Why? Because he knew he would believe him, Abraham.
Yeah.
God had purposed that, the prophet said. He hid it from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes such as learned. The predestinated babes who was predestinated to receive it.
Amen.
Oh my. Listen, we didn't stagger into this thing. We just didn't happen to be here this morning.
No.
God predestinated us for such a time as this.
That's right.
Luther had his day. Wesley had her day. Pentecost had her day with the restoration of the gifts. But this is our day, our time, our season. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
God predestinated us for this hour, amen. And he never put us here to be defeated.
No.
He never put us here to be lost. But he put us here because he had the confidence that we could overcome this hour.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, that makes me happy this morning.
Yes,
amen. Then I say, let us be like Abraham was. He never doubted God when God spoke. And may we never doubt God when he spoke to us. Amen. God said, because you have obeyed my voice, I by myself have sworn. Because there ain't nobody greater than me. I swore by myself that thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. not maybe, not hope so, not could be, but shall.
Amen.
Now, shall is used in the Bible to indicate a command or an obligation. Mm-hmm. Amen. Thy shall, it is command, like let there be light. Amen. It is a commandment from God. Why do we have light today? Because God said so.
That's right.
And he said, shall, and it's a commandment. Amen.
Yeah.
Not could be,
that's
not
right.
Hope so, not maybe, but ye shall possess the gate of his enemies.
Yeah.
Amen. I like this. The prophet said, Abraham was an heir to all by promise, so he can lay claim to everything that was in the land and the land itself. Now, Abraham had been given the promise. Now, we understand Abraham was the poorest man in all the country because he lived out in the desert and he lived in peace with God. And Lot was rich, lived in the city, became the governor of the city. He sat in the gate. He was a judge. He judged the city and had all the riches and all things. But Abraham was in the desert, perhaps the poorest man in the land. And yet he claimed to possess it all. That's looking to the unseen. That's not looking at what you see with your eyes.
That's
but
right.
That's looking at what you see with your heart. He wasn't looking at what he saw with his eye. He was looking at the promise of God.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this morning we may not be rich in the world's goods, but we possess all things.
Amen.
The church itself possesses all things.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Say that with me. The church,
itself.
Possesses all things. The prophet said, I say this, my friend, to every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person in here was healed when Jesus died at Calvary.
Amen.
It's your possession. Well, I've got this. It don't matter. Well, the doctor said this. It don't matter. It don't matter what the MRI said. It don't matter what the CT. This is all that matters. Amen.
Yes. Right.
I was talking to Brother Ron Spencer this morning. I said, you know, a doctor's report can sure put a lump in your throat, but Isaiah 53 takes all fear away. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. The church possesses all things. Every person in here was healed when Jesus died at Calvary. It's your possession. Then I say it's time we profess what it is we possess.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Everyone who's a Christian, raise your hand this morning. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I didn't ask you to do that. That's a quote. But Ben said, I asked you to raise your hand. You was Christians. And your hands went up everywhere. You have a legal right to everything that Jesus died for.
Amen.
He's died. He died his death there at the cross and gave his life that you might have legal rights to every redemptive blessing he died for. It's yours. You're just afraid to possess it. You're afraid to claim it. But I say, let's not be afraid to profess what it is we possess. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This ain't Disney. This ain't some kind of fairy tale.
Right.
When we possess, when we profess what it is we claim we're possessing, we're not saying something out of our own mind. We're actually saying what he's already said. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. Then let's not be afraid. Well, Brother Dale. No. Just speak it. Speak what the word has already said. God will back up his word.
Amen.
Emotion will lie to us. Sensation will lie to us. Feelings will lie to us. But the word of God will never lie to us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. One day the kings, the Gentile kings declared war. And they took Lot, Abraham's nephew, took him and Lot's wife and the children down into another country. And in Genesis 14:14, the Bible said when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. Everybody said his brother, I like that, his brother. Look at what Lot had done to him. And yet, he was still a brother.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, God help us to be that way.
Yes, sir.
When people try to draw us out, God give us grace to draw a bigger circle.
Amen.
And draw them back in.
That's right.
No matter what Lot had done to him, he was his brother. It reminded me during World War II. When the Americans come under attack by the German army and they was overrunning them. Now, I was in the military. There's a code of honor among soldiers that we leave no one on the battlefield. We leave no one behind. It was an unspoken code of honor. We took our people off the battlefield.
Amen.
But they was being overrun so fast, they was ordered to pull to the rear. We'll get the wounded later. We don't have time. If we stop to get the wounded, they'll kill us all. And the sergeant turned around, and there's a boy, had a man up on his shoulders. The man had been shot through the hips. He was bleeding everywhere. He was bleeding so much you couldn't tell who was shot. Both of them covered in blood. And the boy was like the fireman ladder, you know, was trying to carry this man on his back. And the sergeant saw him, and he said, "Soldier, drop that man. We've got to pull to the rear. We'll get him later. If we stay back, we're all going to be lost." And he turned around the second time, and the boy was trying to carry him. You know, he's staggering under the load of this man. He's much bigger than him, much heavier than him. But he was trying to get him off the battlefield. And he turned around the third time, and the boy was still trying to carry him after two times of telling him to let the man go. And on the third time, he said, "As your non-commissioned officer, I give you a direct order. Drop that man. He's too heavy." And the boy yelled back, "Sarge, he ain't heavy. He's my brother." Was trying to get his own brother off the battlefield. Perhaps he told his mama. Perhaps she called him into the kitchen and said, "Watch over Johnny. You know he's big, but he ain't too smart. And make sure you bring him home." He tried to get his brother off the battlefield. Amen. Amen. There's some kind of tie that binds. It reminds me of Geronimo. If you've ever read his autobiography, one of my favorite characters in history is Geronimo. And they said that they took Apache to catch Apache, so they hired the White Mountain Apaches to track down Geronimo and his band of warriors. 37 warriors is all he had. 25 years he evaded the Mexicans, had the United States Army. Yeah. And so they got these White Mountain Apaches and they tracked him down and talked him into coming in. So they came in down there to San Carlos, I believe it was. And when they brought him in, they took the White Mountain Apaches who had tracked them down, placed them under arrest, stripped them of the rake, took their weapons from them, put them on the same train with Geronimo, and shipped them down to Florida. And while they was on the train, one of the White Mountain Apaches spoke up to one of Geronimo's warriors, and he said, "I hate you. As long as there's breath in my body, I'll hate you. So why did you not leave us alone? We were serving the Creator the way He made us. This was our land. Why did you track us down like dogs?" He said, "I'll hate you. As long as there's breath in my body, I'll hate you." And it's written that Geronimo spoke up and said, "Do not hate him. There's too few of us left to hate one another." Amen. I say we're a band of brothers. Let's unite ourselves together.
Amen.
When Abraham heard his brother was in trouble, taken captive, he went and got him. Abraham's men, they were farmers. They weren't warriors.
Right.
They couldn't even spell kung fu. Yeah. They didn't know about that stuff. But why would 318 farmers with pitchforks and shovels and rakes, why would they go up against these kings and their armies? Because if these were kings, they had good armies.
Yeah.
They had good spears. They had good helmets. Come on, somebody.
Right. Yeah.
Why would 318 farmers, why would a bunch of them, being led by Abraham, go up against a bunch of kings and their armies? What made Abraham so sure he could win this battle? Mm-hmm. Who do you think Vegas would have betted on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But why would he do that? Mm-hmm. Because Abraham, oh God, Abraham had a revelation that God had given him the land and all that was in it. He acted on his belief that what God said was true.
Yep.
He acted on the word of God. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, God, give us grace like that we'll not just say, "I believe it," but we'll act upon what we believe.
Amen.
How do we know Noah believed God when God said it was going to rain? How do you know Noah believed him? Because Noah built the ark before the rain ever fell.
Amen.
How do you know Joshua believed God when he said the walls would fall down? Because they shouted the victory before the walls ever come down.
Amen.
And if you catch the revelation of who we are in this hour, we can shout the victory.
Amen.
Because you look in the back of the book, it says we win.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Starting
to feel 18 again. It must be those cookies I got. Amen. Had a revelation that God had given him the land and all that was in it. He acted on what God said, believing that what God said was true. God could tell Abraham he was an heir to all the land because he knew Abraham would believe him. Do you understand this morning? These mysteries that we look at, things that sages of old desired to look upon, but the book was closed to them. But we're living in the hour that the opening of the seals have been made known to us. Why would God in this generation make these things known? Because God knew we would believe what he said.
Amen.
And we would act upon it.
Yes.
And the words that were spoken would become flesh in me and in you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Abraham was a possessor of the gate of his enemies. Why? Not because he felt like it, but because God said so. He wasn't relying on 318 farmers with pitchforks. He was trusting in the God who made the promise.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not trusting in my ability. I ain't got no ability.
Right.
But I'm trusting in the God who made the promise.
Amen.
Abraham went after his nephew. He went after what belonged to him because he was a possessor of all that was in the land.
Amen.
Abraham had a right to the promise, and the promise was his, yet he had to fight to possess it. There you are. The believer today, you're heir to all things.
Yes.
You're an heir to every spiritual blessing, every physical blessing. Oh, let me say that again. You're an heir to every spiritual blessing, every physical blessing, every blessing the Bible promises.
Amen.
You're an heir.
That's right.
Yet you have to fight for every inch of it. That's the way God has it set up. It's always been that way. You have to fight to possess what you know is your own. You have to fight to possess it. And that's what you've got to do now.
Yeah.
Then I say, God, give us strength to fight to possess what we've already owned.
Amen. Yeah.
Then if we have to fight, let the fight start right here.
Yes.
Let it start right now.
Amen.
By professing what the Word says is ours. That's where the fight starts. Is when we start professing what the Word says is ours.
Amen.
Oh, you say, brother, I wish I had joy. I wish I had peace. I wish I had authority. I wish I had victory. I'm trying to tell you this morning, you already have it.
That's right.
Oh, my. You know, I like Indian stuff. I'm just about 4.5% Native American, just enough to like it. I don't know. I'm more Irish than that. I care less about the Irish, but just something. I got a feather on my mirror. I don't know why, but I've got one on my mirror. And I just like that stuff. And a few years ago, I was down at Brother Manuel Salazar's there in New Mexico preaching. And we went down to the Indian market and was looking around. And it wasn't long after that that I went up north to a brother to preach for him. And I go into his house, and he married a girl from out southwest. And when I went into the foyer of their home, there on the wall was a bow wrapped in deerskin with crossed arrows, had leather strings hanging off of it, feathers and beads. It's just a beautiful piece. Now, my study is fixed in Native American. I've got pots and arrowheads and tomahawks and all kinds. And I thought, man, that would look good in my study. I might have coveted a little bit. I don't know. But I thought, wow, well, I'd like to have that right there. I thought I couldn't afford that. But it sure was nice. Wasn't long after that, I was back down to Brother Manuel's preaching again. And he said, Brother Dawson, when you was here a few years ago, he said, after you left, so I went back down to the Indian market. He said, I felt something down there that reminded me of you. He said, I bought it for you. He said, I've had it ever since. He said, would you like to have it? I said, yeah. So he goes in the closet, pulls it out. Guess what it is? It's a bow wrapped in deerskin with feathers and beads. It was the exact piece.
Wow.
And there I was up north wishing I had something.
Yeah, come on.
But in reality, I already owned it and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
And I come this morning not to tell you something new, but to remind you of what he's already said is yours.
Yes. Amen.
If he gave us joy, if he gave us peace, if he gave us, come on somebody, if he gave us authority, if he gave us gifts, if he gave us signs and wonders, we have a right to possess it, amen.
That's right.
He would have never gave it to us if he didn't want us to have it.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Woo, glory to God. And Abraham returned from the slaughter of the kings, and the king of Sodom told him, take the spoils. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I've lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, possessor of heavens and earth. Abraham said, I'll not take from thread to shoe latch, because he didn't fight the war to make a lot of money.
Amen.
And real true battles are not made with selfish motives.
Amen. That's true.
Amen. Selfish
motives. We are living in one of the most selfish ages that they ever are.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. You know, in 2013, I believe it was, I think it's Oxford Dictionary, they choose one word to represent the east, western, and the western side and the eastern side of the world. They choose one word for the east and one word from the west. But in 2013, they chose a word to represent the entire world, because this word was Googled, used, whatever, more than any other word. So they chose this word as the word of the year. You know what that word was? Selfie. Selfish age. That's why they run over you at the red light. Because they think they're more important than you are.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you can't make this up. I read it just the other day. A woman down in Texas got married. She had a wedding cake. She had a preacher. She had a bride party. She had a wedding dress. She had a bouquet. She had flowers. The only thing missing was a groom. She married herself. Because she said, don't you can't make this up. She married herself because she said she could find no one who loved her as much as she loved herself.
Oh,
and did not Brother Benham say that we're living in a time
when
selfishness would take the place of the true love of God? Self-love would take the place of the true love of God.
Right.
But in this time of such selfishness, there is a people who does not war for selfish motives. Wars are not fought for money. Wars are fought for motives and for principles. Men fight war for principle. And when Abraham went to get Lot, he didn't go out because he knew he could whip the kings and take a possession. He went out for the principle of saving his brother.
That's right.
And any minister that sent out under the inspiration of the kingdom of heaven will not go for money.
Amen.
Even when they go for big churches or go to inspired denominations, he'll go for one principle.
Right.
That's to bring back his fallen brother.
Amen.
I come to this service this morning for one principle, to war against the devil, not to get a name for myself. I'm not interested in popularity.
Amen.
I don't care about none of that. But to get my fallen brother, amen. To get the one that Satan has tied down and say, loose him and let him go.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Solomon said there's a time for peace. And there's a time for war.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with fighting if you're fighting for the right principle.
Amen.
Brother Ben said, I was standing down at Tombstone the other day at the museum. I saw a picture of Geronimo. I said, many of you might think that Geronimo was a renegade, but to me, he was a genuine American.
Yeah.
He was only fighting for that which is right, that God had given him a land and a nation and a place to live. I don't blame him. And when those white soldiers coming out by force taking over the land, killing them out like a bunch of flies. And that was the original picture of Geronimo's medical headquarters or his hospital. It was two or three blankets over a piece of mesquite. And then wounded, real, genuine American Indians fighting for their God-given rights. And Geronimo with a baby of his own on the hip, standing there, looking up on his own warriors bleeding and dying. With no penicillin or nothing or no way to help them. Genuine, God-given American. Then you call him a renegade. I call him a gentleman.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because he was only fighting for something that was right. That God gave him a land and a nation and a place to live.
Amen.
And God has given us a land and a nation and a place to live.
Yes.
I say it's worth fighting for.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
We don't war for selfish motives. But Satan's took some of our possession. And I say it's time for the seed of Abraham to rise up and get it back. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Declare war on all hell and all of its demons. Well, the devil's been after me all week. I say it's time we go after him.
Yes.
This means war. You need to let the devil know you can't have my increase. You can't have my family.
That's
you
right.
can't have my health. This means war.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Remember, said the American Indian lost this land because they were divided among themselves. And that's always Satan's tactic.
Yes.
It's to divide and conquer.
That's right.
If he can't divide us over race, he'll try to divide us over vaccinations.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Yeah.
Come on.
Or divide us over some doctrine or some ideal or some quote. But I say, seed of Abraham, let's unite ourselves together.
Yes.
What are we going to unite on, Brother Darrell? On the word of God, amen.
That's right.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen.
Amen. I say, let's unite ourselves together. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are brothers.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Satan's tactics always is to divide and conquer. Yes. But I say, seed of Abraham, let's unite ourselves. Yes. On the promises of God's word. We are the seed of Abraham through the promise that God swore to Abraham that thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy.
Amen.
He said, Brother Branham, I need healing. The promise is yours.
Yeah.
But if you ever get it, you ain't going to get it easy. I'm going to tell you that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to take it away from Satan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Satan captures your health. You've got a right to go to Satan mm-hmm. and say, give it back.
Yeah.
Hand it over.
Amen.
But how easy it is for people just to accept what the doctor says. Back home, we have a boy over in Greenville, Tennessee. He went in for some prostate trouble. Went in for a prostate exam. They did some blood work. And they called and told him, said, sir, you need to come in. You've got prostate cancer. We need to get started on it right away. He said, well, I've got a dairy farm down here. He said, I can't just leave. I got to get someone here to kind of take over. Got to milk the cows and all that. I'll be in a few days. He said, well, you need to come in. If that goes to your bone, you're gone. You need to get in. So you know what he does? He writes himself a note, leaves it for his wife. Said, I'd rather die of my own hand than to die of cancer. And he goes out into his field and he takes a gun and he takes his own life. A few days later, the doctor's office called, said they'd made a terrible mistake. The chart, the record, the report that they put on the man's chart belonged to someone else. It wasn't even his. He never even had prostate cancer. But he believed the doctor to the point that he took his own life. Now look, friends, I'm not against doctors. I go to doctors. I worked with doctors for years. I worked in surgery. I did thousands of operations.
Yep.
But let me tell you, sometimes doctors are 100% correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sometimes they're 100% wrong.
Yeah.
And always remember, doctors bury their mistakes.
Yep.
And it's called practicing medicine.
That's right. It's true.
Brother, aren't you saying, no, I'm not saying go. I go to the doctors. I'm saying, right, but what I'm right, saying, right. When the doctor says he can't help you,
right.
When the doctor says, I'm sorry, there's nothing else we can do, when the doctor says, look at the MRI, I'm just trying to tell you, look somewhere else.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Yeah, look to Dr. Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hand it over. Give it back to me. You've got a right to say, give it back to me.
Amen.
I come in the name of the Lord, possessor of heavens and earth. I am his heir. Mm-hmm. You took my child, got him mixed up with her own boy. You took my girl, got him mixed up with her own. Got my girl mixed up with her own boy. Got my boy mixed up with her own girl. But I'm coming after them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. You took them from God's house. You coaxed them out there. But I claimed them. I'm coming after them. How do you know? Because I'm an heir of all things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's given to me. I'm an heir and joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
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 You see, not only are we an heir, but we're a joint heir. Now, there's a big difference between being an heir and being a joint heir.
Yeah.
You see, an heir means you get something from your daddy. For example, say me, being Brother Tony, Brother Robert, we're brothers. And our daddy dies, and we go for the reading of the will. And God gives Brother Tony the 160-acre farm. He gives Brother Robert the Cadillac with spinning hubcaps. He gives me a goat. Now, am I an heir? I am. I'm an heir. I got something from my daddy. But it's apparently daddy had a problem with me. I have to ask my brother Tony if I can even put my goat on his land to feed it.
Yeah.
But the difference between being an heir and a joint heir is you share in the inheritance together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That means that whatever God gave Tony, God gave me.
Amen.
Whatever yes. God gave Jesus, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means whatever the Father yes. gave him, that's what he's given you.
Amen.
You see, there ain't one Holy Ghost for Jesus, and one Holy Ghost for Brother Branham, and one Holy Ghost for the pastor, and one Holy Ghost for the song leader. There's one Holy Ghost for us all.
That's
and
right.
When you receive the Holy Ghost, you got what Jesus got on the river that day.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Why? We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And I can claim everything. I can claim everything
yes.
that God promised me.
Amen.
Amen. I can claim my health. I can claim my revival.
Yes.
I can claim my victory.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I can claim it.
Yes.
I can claim it. claimed it because he said so.
Right.
You know, it reminded me of a story. I thought it was so good. This bookstore was having a book review, and they hired this professor from college to come in and give this book review of this book. So all these people showed up for the book review. Crowd gathered around. The guy got up and he opened up the book. He said, now, in chapter one, the author was saying this. You know, and all the people in the crowd, they nodded their head. So he goes on to chapter two. He says, now in chapter two, here's what the author was trying to convey. And everybody, you know, nodded their head except one man in the crowd. He said, nope, that ain't right. The guy goes on to chapter three. He says, now in chapter three, chapter four, chapter five, and every chapter, this guy in the crowd said, nope, that ain't right.
Uh-huh.
Well, by chapter seven, this professor was irate. And he goes, who do you think you are? I'm a professor at the university. Who do you think you know more about this book than I do? Why do you think you know more about this book than I do? And the man said, I wrote the book. Hallelujah. You say, how can you say these things? I'm telling you what the man that wrote the book, hallelujah. He wrote the book. He said we're overcomers. He said we're victorious. Hallelujah. He said no weapon formed against you will prosper. He said in my name you shall cast out devils. Speak on somebody. The man who wrote the book said we're victorious. The man that wrote the book said we're going in the rapture. The man that wrote the book said what? Hallelujah. The man that wrote the book said it. I'll stay with the author this morning.
Amen.
Let my feelings lie to me. Let my emotions lie to me. Yes. But God's word will never lie to me.
Amen.
Sir, notice on the devil.
Yes.
You ain't getting my children.
Amen.
You ain't getting my marriage.
Amen.
You ain't getting my ministry.
That's
you ain't getting my family. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
God, give me grace to fight him tooth and nail.
Amen.
If he knocks my teeth out, give me grace to gum him to death.
Amen.
My mama's daddy and one brother. Frank was talking about last night. I was always scared of him. He was an alcoholic. I led him to the Lord right before he died. But when I was young, I was always afraid of him because he was different. And he was a boxer. And he fought out of Knoxville, Tennessee under the title of a Doughboy Johnson. Now, Doughboy is what they called a World War I soldier. And that was his title, Doughboy Johnson. So he had a big fight down in Knoxville one night. My mom was just a young girl, 17, 18 year old. She told me about it. And she said they bought her a new dress to go to the fight. So they got down to the arena that night and said the man that my papa was fighting was much bigger than him, was stronger than him, had a bigger fist than he had, a bigger reach. And my mama said it scared me because I afraid he's going to hurt my daddy. And she said, I said, Daddy, won't you just forfeit this fight and let's go home? I said, that man's going to kill you. Look at him. I said, please, Daddy, don't fight the man. She said, but he didn't listen. Said he got in the ring, said a fight started, said two rounds, said that man hit my papaw and knocked him plumb out of the ring into the second row. People had to get out of the way, come crashing into the chairs. Mom said he was laying there on his back. She said, I went running down there, blood pouring out of his face, said his nose was turned up towards his cheek. And she said, I took the corner. Some of you sisters might know what that is. She said, I took the corner of my new dress and wiped the blood off my daddy's face. And I said, please, Daddy, let's go home. That man's going to kill you. I said, Mama, what did he do? She said, he got up, he took his gloves, and he went like that, straightened his nose, wiped the blood, said he went back in the ring. Three rounds later, he knocked the man out and won the fight.
Go on.
I thought, oh, God, give me grace like that.
Yes.
That if the devil knocks me plumb into the second row.
Yes.
But God, give me grace to get up and
Amen.
Get back in the ring again.
Yes.
Why? Because I have a promise of victory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God, or am I taking too much time?
No.
Listen, when God offered up Isaac in Genesis 22:16-17, he said that seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. You get it? Now, the natural seed of Abraham was Isaac. So through Isaac's seed, we find out they did possess the gate of their enemies, just like God said so. The natural tops the spiritual. Now, the prophecy of Joshua, speaking of Joshua, God's given every sick person in here divine healing. Every one of you. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes we're healed. It's yours. But you have to fight for every inch you possess. Everywhere the soles of your feet travel, God told Joshua, I've given you footprints means possession.
Yes.
Then let's move in tonight. Let's go in. Footprints is possession. Let's take every inch of ground that God's given us. If you haven't got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Peter said the promise is to you and to your children, even as far off as many as the Lord our God should call. Footprints is possession. Let's go get it.
Amen.
It's ours.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. I say let's possess it.
Yes.
The works that others shall you do also. I say let's possess it.
Amen.
You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
I say let's possess it.
Amen.
There will be a rapture. I say yes. Let's possess it.
I don't know.
These are our God-given rights.
That's right.
It's God's promise to us. Yeah. Don't look at the circumstances.
Amen.
Don't look at how hard it is.
Right.
Don't look at the storm.
Right.
Look at the sun.
Amen.
That's the wind.
Yeah.
You know, I was over at Charlotte Airport the other day going to a meeting. It was raining so hard they grounded us on the tarmac out there for 30 minutes with the rain later. So finally they gave permission to take off. We was climbing. It was cloudy. That plane was a bumping and a shaking and a rocking and a dipping and a falling. Oh, my. But all at once, we broke through the clouds. And when we did, guess what? There was the sun.
Yes.
It was always there.
That's right.
It was on the clouds and the wind and the storm was just blocking it.
Yeah.
It was always there.
That's right, brother.
Look beyond the clouds. Look beyond the storms. Look beyond the thunderings of the devil.
Amen.
Just look at the sun.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He's always there.
Amen.
Let's possess the land. Amen. You know, you have a meeting of people praising the Lord and shouting the victory and claiming their healing. It's easy to do. But when it comes to the showdown,
mm-hmm.
are we able to possess the things that we profess to have?
Yeah.
Right.
That's the thing, brother. We've got to get it.
That's right.
It's ours, but we have to fight for every inch of it. Can
Amen.
We possess
Amen.
What we profess
right.
and profess what we possess?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Don't make no difference. God's given us the land. I don't care if it's giants in the land, infidels
yeah.
in the land, co-formal churches in the land. What difference does it make?
Amen.
None of that matters.
That's
because
right.
God's done gave it to us.
Yes.
And God doesn't Amen. Take it back.
Amen.
God gave the promise. Let's take it. It's ours. It belongs to us. It's our possession. Let's go get it. Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Don't stay back and say, well, I don't know, brother. I don't know. You know, he asked you, you believe God's a healer. Everybody will raise their hand. You say, God will believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you believe God will heal you? Just
yeah.
It's always that barrier.
Yeah.
I said, this don't be that way. That's a hybrid faith. And a hybrid faith will never produce nothing.
Right.
Right.
I'd rather be found believing the promise for 25 years mm-hmm. than to be found doubting it when he shows up to confirm it.
Oh, my.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Do you love him this morning?
Amen. Amen.
Declare war on Satan.
Yes.
Go get back
yeah.
what
yeah.
he stole from you.
Yeah.
Yes. Seed of Isaac. They did the natural seed possessed. Quickly, let's just look at a couple. Look at this Hebrew children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had a promise. We don't know whether God will deliver us or not, but this one thing we do know, he's able to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this promise that God's promised their father Abraham that his seed would possess the gate of their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, this is our enemy, and they're trying to burn us up.
Yeah.
But God said, we can possess the gate.
Amen.
So they went in believing what God told their father Abraham was true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the king got so upset that these boys, that the Bible said he heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before.
Yeah.
Now that tells me he had some kind of temper.
Yeah.
That man was upset.
Right.
He was so upset against these boys that his own men who threw them into the fire died from the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talk about insanity. Yeah. His desire to destroy these people, he destroyed his own people trying to destroy God's people.
Right.
And let me say, Satan will destroy his own kingdom trying to stop this bride,
That's
but
right.
he will never stop this
bride. Hallelujah.
And they threw these boys in the furnace. Now here's the great thing. You see, God never took the fire out of the furnace.
Right.
You say, how could you say that, brother? Because I believe that king was so upset that if he looked into the furnace and saw there was no fire,
uh-huh.
after he just lost to some of his own men, what do you think he would have done?
Mm-hmm.
He would have relit the furnace.
Sure.
But when he looked in there, the fire was still there.
Uh-huh.
But the heat and the smoke was missing. We serve a God who can take the heat and the smoke out of the fire, and the fire still burns.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Daniel possessed his enemy's gates at the lion's mouth, could not even be opened against him.
Yeah.
Now they pitched Daniel in his pit. with these lions who had ate humans before.
Yeah.
And when they saw Daniel with nowhere to go, it was a happy meal. I mean, just nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you know it or not, if you've ever studied it, but a lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away. Mm-hmm. 120 decibels, a sound of 120 decibels will physically damage the human ear. And a lion's roar can reach between 110 and 114 decibels.
Wow.
It can be heard 5 miles away. That's from here over to the hotel that I just came from. I could hear that lion roar if he roared here this morning. Mm-hmm. And here's Daniel in this lion's den. And this lion right in front of him. And a lion will always roar before they take their game to tell everybody, hey, that right there belongs to me.
Yeah.
But he had a promise that his seed shall possess the gate of his enemies.
Yeah.
And when that lion went to let out that roar, to say, look out, Tubby, here he comes.
Yeah.
But when that lion went out to let out a roar, the prophet God said, all he could do, instead of a roar, he went, meow. The prophet said, he went over and laid down and meowed like a kitten. Because his seed shall possess the gate.
Wow.
Listen to me.
Amen.
Samson. Now the prophet said Samson. I'm hurrying. The prophet said Samson was a mama's boy.
Mm-hmm.
A shrimp.
Right.
A sissy one place.
That's right.
And yet when his enemy tried to shut him in, the Bible said he ripped up their gates, and the prophet said those gates weighed 8 tons apiece.
Yeah.
Now, I worked in surgery, and we have done surgery before to repair people, construction workers that pick up a barrel full of bricks. And when they go to pick up the wheelbarrow full of bricks, they tear this muscle loose from their bone. And they come in, and we open them up and take a 1050 staple, pull that tendon back up, drive it into the bone, put them in a sling, let them heal up. But just picking up a barrel, a wheelbarrow of bricks, would tear that muscle loose from their bone.
Yeah.
Now, here's the man that picked up 2 gates that weighed a total of 16 tons, and he was a mama's boy.
Yeah.
What kept his tendons from ripping out of his body? God did.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he picked up those gates, and he packed them up on a hill. I forget how far he carried those gates, but he packed them up on a hill, and he threw the gates down, and he said, you boys want your gates? Come up here and get them. Because his seed possessed the gate of his enemy.
Yeah.
All these 5 warriors died in the faith. Every one of them died in the faith. The characters that we read out in the Bible to inspire us.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking of one, just before we close, another seed. Jesus Christ, the royal seed.
Mm.
What did he do? The prophet said he took the gates of the enemy. He took the gates of Satan. That could not exist in his presence. No, sir. Neither could anything else exist in his presence. A funeral procession could not stand in his presence. What did he do? Joshua died. Moses died. All the rest of them died. But not this royal seed.
Yeah.
Death could not stand where life was.
Man.
That woman from Nain came out with her boy, stopped him, said, rise up, son. That girl that was dead, Jairus' daughter, he spoke a word back yonder into the unknown world out there and said, daughter, arise. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Even his sister said, Lord, he stinks. But Jesus stood there and said, Lazarus, come forth! And the man that had been dead 4 days stood on his feet.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, glory to God. There he was. That's who I'm talking about this morning. The royal seed of Abraham. What did he do? He broke the seals of everything.
Yes.
His precious soul descended into hell where you and I ought to have went. But on that third day, Samson took the gates and did nothing to this. He took the gates of hell. He took the gate of the grave. He took the gate of everything else. He didn't pack it up on a mountain, but he destroyed it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's he possessed the gate of the enemy. The atmosphere was filled with devil power. Angels or nothing else could come down. There could be no intercession because the blood of goats would not take away sin. But his own blood took away our sins.
Yeah.
He ascended up on high, led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now every one of Abraham's seed that's willing to pay the price and come down and repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of the sins and filled with the Holy Ghost had to stand the test of time.
Amen.
Amen. When he comes, he possessed every gate, the gate of sickness, the gate of death, the gate of hell, the gate of temptation, the gate of the grave. He possessed every gate and freely give it to us. And freely give it to us. That makes us more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. This means war.
Amen.
We need to start professing what it is we are possessing.
Yes, sir.
This year, you need to tell Satan, you're under my feet.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You need to tell him that.
Amen.
Yeah. He needs to know that.
Yes.
You are under my feet.
Amen.
You know, we talk about the body of Christ. And people say, you know, well, Brother Darrell, I'm just the skin at the little toe in the body of Christ. That's that, you know, where the little toe meets the foot and that little crease right there. That's who I am.
Yeah.
And maybe that's who you are. Uh-huh. But if that's who you are, you're still in the body.
That's right, brother. Yeah.
But the most wonderful thing about it is, if that's who I am, Satan's still under my feet.
Amen.
Every devil is under our feet.
That's right. Amen.
And you need to remind him.
Amen.
Oh boy.
Yeah, come
under
on.
My feet.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can stomp you down.
That's
yes.
right.
I can stomp you down.
Yes.
You are under
Amen.
My feet.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. It reminds me of Shamgar. We'll look at this a little close. You know, every year at that harvest time, the Philistines would come marching in. And they'd smack him around. And they'd take everything that he worked for and leave him with just enough to replant for the next season.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come back and take it again over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
They would come in, take what he had worked for, take what belonged to him.
Yep.
The dog would run and hide. His wife would cry. The children would take off. And they'd come in and just leave him with enough to plant for the next year. But this particular year at harvest time, there was another seed that had come to maturity. And when they came in, marching in to get what belonged to him, something rose up in Shamgar. And he said, I am the seed of Abraham.
Yes.
Yeah.
God gave me this land.
Yes.
And God promised my daddy that his seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. That is my enemy.
Yep.
His wife said, my God, Shamgar, what are you going to do? And he reached up and he grabbed an ox goat.
Yeah.
And he took that ox goat and he jumped out the window right in the midst of 600 Philistines.
Yeah.
And when he jumped out there, they were shocked. Transformers are kids getting his fighting muscles popped out everywhere.
Yeah.
He started swinging that thing. He might have got in tune. He might have said, give me G for Jesus. I don't know. But he got into that tune. He got to singing, I'm one of them.
Yeah, come on.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Uh-huh.
And when he got done, there was 600 Philistines laying dead.
Amen.
And his wife, you know, when Shamgar jumped out the window, she just fainted. And when she heard that it was quiet, she just raised it. Said, my God, Shamgar, I ain't never seen you act like that in church. What in the world happened? I don't know, honey. I got to singing. I was one of them.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, I was.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. That becomes more than a song to us. It becomes a reality. Yeah. I am one of them.
Yes.
You are one of them.
Amen.
We are the seed of Abraham through the royal seed of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you love him this morning?
Amen.
Church is the royal promise seed. And if the natural seed can take that much courage, what ought the royal seed do with the presence of the Holy Ghost? Just the anointing around us showing himself. Oh my.
Amen.
We not be good, rich in the world's goods, but we possess all things. The church itself possesses all things.
Amen.
Yet poor, yet rich, possessing all things.
That's right.
The possessor of the earth, the believer. The believer has a title, abstract deed. That's right. By Jesus Christ. that he shall be possessor of the entire universe.
Amen.
That's right. The meek shall inherit the earth. You say, well, God promised Abraham. That's wonderful what God promised Abraham. But I've come to tell you this morning, he promised you too.
Amen.
You're the seed of Abraham. If you're in Christ, you're the seed of Abraham. And every promise that was to Abraham is to you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh God, they're the seed of Abraham. Let them see tonight by the message, Lord, that God swore to Abraham that his seed should possess the gate of every enemy. Then being in Christ Jesus, that Lord, and being in Christ Jesus, our Lord, it makes us the seed of Abraham. Every enemy has to turn loose. Do you love him this morning?
Yes.
Oh my. I say, seed of Abraham, it's time we start professing
what
it is we are possessing. You need to remind the devil, you are under my feet.
Amen.
That's
right.
Here a few years ago, when I was a little girl, I was preaching up in Kentucky. And after service, we were standing outside. I was talking to the brother. Allie was standing beside me. She's about 6 years old, something like that. And I was talking to the brother, and Allie goes, and I looked at her, and I said something else. She goes, I looked over at her, I thought, what in the world? And I said something else. She goes, I said, Allie. And I said something else. I said, Allie, what are you doing? She said, it's a bug, Daddy, it's a bug. And I looked down, and this bug was running around. She's trying to stomp that bug. That's what you need to do to the devil this morning.
Amen.
You need to put him under your feet.
Amen.
You need to tell him, I'm the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
Yes.
The promise is mine.
Amen.
You can't have my children. You can't have
Amen.
My marriage.
That's
you
right.
can't have my family.
Amen.
Amen. We slay our giants one at a time.
That's right.
Do you love him this morning?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. I pray I've not kept you too long. I know some of you've got to travel. Forgive me if I did. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. It's so rich, so true, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why would I worry when giants come calling my name? My God is so much bigger than troubles I face. And why would I hunger for power or riches or fame? My God is so much better than all of these things. So I won't be shaken, I won't be moved. My God is faithful, his promises true. So I'll speak to the mountains, tell them it's time. Oh, Lord God, song speaks to my heart this morning. Because it's more than just words to us. It's a reality. The God who slayed the giant for David is the God who slays our giants this day.
Yes.
You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We are the Lord, seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ. And as we look, Lord, that the natural seed truly did possess the gate of our enemy.
Yes.
And we know the natural touched the spiritual. And oh God, the spiritual seed of Abraham through Christ, we also will possess every gate of the enemy.
Yes.
And when we leave here, Lord, every devil is under our feet.
Yes.
And Father, I pray this morning, God, it's not on what we feel. It's not on what we feel. Sometimes our feelings can be totally wrong. God, it's not on a goosebump. Sometimes a goosebump can be totally wrong. But our faith doesn't rest on that this morning. It rests on the Word of God that cannot fail. So God, we stand upon that Word today and we say to our enemy, give way, gates of hell, give way this morning.
Yeah.
You've come against our families. You've come against our children. You've come against our churches. But we say no more as the seed of Abraham. As Shamgar drawn the ox goat, we draw the sword of the Word this morning. And we've come back. We've come to take back what you stole from us. You've took our joy. You've took our peace. You've took our help. But we come this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke you, Satan. Come out of the people. You're defeated this morning. My Lord defeated you in Calvary. You're nothing but a bluff. Leave the children of God this day. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say, seed of Abraham, if you can believe the promise this morning, whatever it is troubling you, whatever it is you're battling this morning, why don't you stand and claim victory over it? Why don't you stand this morning and lift your hand and say, God, this day I claim victory over that torment. This day I claim victory over that blood pressure, over that arthritis, over that back trouble, over that marital trouble, over that financial trouble, whatever it would be this morning, I claim it. I claim victory in the name of Jesus Christ. And I go out rejoicing knowing it's already done. The battle is over. The victory is mine. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I will not worry. I will not fear. For my Lord is mighty in battle. He has given us the victory today. And I receive it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Reach over, lay your hand on the person beside of you. You can't, brother to brother, sister to sister, just lay hands on one another, will you? The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands upon each other. They shall lay hands upon one another, and they shall recover. That promise is just as true as it was when he spoke it today. And I believe it. Let's exercise our God-given rights. Almighty God, we lay our hands upon one another today in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Holy Spirit flow from one to the other to confirm the victory today. Oh, Father God, I pray as we lay our hands, God, in obedience to your word, knowing your word will not return unto you void. But I ask your God, may there come great testimonies, Lord, of what you've done, because we stood on the promise of your word, God. We believed it and we exercised our God-given rights to lay hands upon one another. And we say, Satan, no more. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the giant fall today. May he fall. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
My God is faithful for his promises. So I'll speak to the mountain.
Pennsylvania. There's a sister by the name of Sister Betty came up. She had glaucoma in her eyes so bad. She had to wear sunglasses because the lights of the church hurt her eyes. She's going to see an eye specialist on Monday about the glaucoma. She came up for prayer. The saints of God prayed for Sister Betty. She goes to the eye doctor of the specialist on Monday. He examines her eyes. You know what the doctor told Sister Betty? Whoever sent you here needs their eyes examined. There's nothing wrong with your eyes.
Amen.
The giant fell before.
Yeah.
Oh, I shared that testimony up in Oregon, Brother Rich Cobb's church up there. There's a brother sitting in the back with cataracts on both eyes. He said, Lord, if you could do that for Sister Betty, you can do it for me. And the cataracts fell off of his eyes in the service.
Amen.
That's the kind of God that we serve.
Amen.
I was in Cottonwood, Arizona. Sister had a tumor on her chest.
Yeah.
A weeping tumor. She'd been putting essential oils and all kinds of ointments on it. And in the service, I just started sharing some of the things that I'd seen the Lord do. I said, I had nothing to do with it. I'm just a witness to it. I was just there when it happened.
Yeah.
As a sister started, she never even came up for prayer, just rejoicing over what the Lord did. She goes home, took her blouse off to put ointment on this tumor.
Yeah.
And it was gone.
Amen.
It completely disappeared during the service.
Praise
Brother Lord. James Tidwell was at BYC a few years ago. He had a cancer in his ear. Been there for 3 years. It would scab over and bleed, scab over and bleed. Say he's always self-conscious because it always looked like his ear was dirty. And that night I had all the young people come up to the altar and I had all the ministers come behind him and we just had one mass prayer for everybody. And Brother James come up praying for the kids. He goes back to the cabin, goes to sleep. He gets up the next morning, looks in the mirror. The tumor's completely disappeared.
Amen.
No scab, no scar. I had a cancer come up in my ear. The doctor took it out. He left a hole in my ear so big you could read the Constitution through it. I've got a terrible scar in my ear right now. But you see, that's the way it is. When God takes a when man takes a cancer off someone's ear, it leaves a scar.
Yeah.
But when God does it, he don't even leave a scar.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the kind of God that we serve.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. I was in Albion, Pennsylvania. He's a brother sitting right there where the sister was sitting. I came out to preach and just started reading the scripture. And this brother just falls back in his chair. His eyes goes up in his head. I can see the whites of his eyes from the pulpit. His wife jumped up, started screaming. I told the church, I said, let's just bow our heads. And the church, they just began singing. I don't even remember the song. Something like, oh, how I love Jesus. Or just something, only believe. Just something. The church, and I'll just never forget how calm the people were. And Brother Jim, the pastor of the church, he was sitting behind the brother. And so he just stood up and laid his hands on his shoulders. And the saints of God prayed. And Brother Jack was laying there like that with his eyes like that. And he goes, I said, Brother Jack? He said, let's go, brother. So we went to preaching.
Amen.
Because that's the kind of God
Amen.
That we serve.
Amen.
Here about 6 months ago, you can go stream it at the church. It's on, it's there, Word of Life Church. There's a sister sitting up on the back of the church back there. Sister Sandy Baggett's mother, Sister Ruth Garland. And I was preaching, and I was turning this way, and I turned back around this way, and they were sitting in the back, they was going like that. And they was panicking, and I could see the sister laying back there. And Brother Donnie was sitting there, I said, Brother Donnie, someone's sick. I said, they need prayer. So I left the pulpit, and Brother Donnie went up there, I told the saints, I said, bow your head. So when he got up there, a sister, a PA, a physician's assistant, she had a hold of her pulse, and she looked, and she was going, ain't no pulse. Anybody who's been in medicine knows there's such a thing as called agonal respirations. It's when the heart stops, the brain will actually try to force the lungs to breathe. And it makes a weird sound. It's not death rattles. Death rattles is completely different. But this is almost like a croaking sound, like a frog sound. It's called agonal respirations. And she was doing these sounds. It's coming out of her. She was laying there on her sister Sandy's shoulder, lifeless. They called 911. And the saints of God just prayed. There wasn't no rushing wind. There wasn't no supernatural anointing coming to the building. The saints of God just prayed and asked God to have mercy on her sister. And when they said amen, Sister Ruth Garland, who was lifeless, was patting Sandy on the shoulder, smiling, got up and got in the wheelchair herself, and they took her to the back. And the ambulances came. And they took her to the hospital. They ran all these tests. And at 5:30 in the morning, the doctor came to Sister Sandy and said, Miss Baggett, we have no explanation to what happened to your mother. Every blood work, every test, every CT scan is completely normal.
Amen.
And she said, I know what happened. I was there. I know what I seen. I know what I heard.
Amen. Hallelujah.
At any time. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. I hope I didn't keep y'all too long. I know you better drive. Oh my, he's so good.
Amen.
He's so good. Amen. Sing us happy, brother. Who's taking the service? Amen. God bless you, Reese. Happy believes God done something for you
today.
You just claimed the promise.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You just claimed the promise. Did I ever tell you about the sister Romania? Ever shared that with you? I was in Romania.
this sister, she was a gypsy girl. She comes to the altar on Friday night. Brother Kenny Caps had day services. I had the night services. She had no hip. She's born without a hip. She walked on a crutch. This leg would swing when she walked. It would swing. She'd have to physically stop it with her hand. She came to the altar that night and she said, I want to repent of my sins. And she tried to get down on her knees. And I said, sis, you don't need to do that. I said, you can stand right here and accept Christ. But she wanted to get on her knees. And she worked that leg till she could get. And I thought, my God, how many people in America with two good legs never bow their knees? And here this poor girl trying to get on her knees to repent. Saturday morning after service, they had a baptismal service, and she went out into an icy river, a rushing icy river, with that crutch, and got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. She came back to church that night. She came back to the altar. She said, I want to be married. She said, I want to have children. She said, but who would marry me like this? And I said, you know what, sis, if I was you, I wouldn't ask God for my healing. I would just thank Him for it. I said, you just go thanking Him for it. I said, you take this handkerchief, put it under your pillow, and when God heals you, you send it back to me for a testimony of what the Lord did for you.
Yeah.
2 years, I believe it was, went by, and I got an email from a girl named Christina. Never even knew her name. She said, Brother, I've been trying to find you. She said, I did what you told me to do. I told her, I said, just go everywhere testifying of what the Lord did for you. Just thanking Him. I said, write it on your mirror with soap in your bathroom. When you get up in the morning, sit. Say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. When you go to bed at night, say, thank you, Lord, for healing me.
That's right.
She said, I did what you told me to do, Brother Darrell. Said, even my mama said, I want you to quit testifying because you ain't no better. You're embarrassing. She said, but I didn't listen to my mama. I kept testifying. Said, I stood up in church one service to testify. Said, some of my friends said, I heard them say, here she goes again.
Yeah, all right.
And she said, I want to testify. I want to thank the Lord. She said, Brother Darrell, when I said that, she said, my hip popped.
Amen.
And I threw the crutch down, and I walked out.
Praise the Lord.
It may not happen when you think it's going to happen.
That's right. That's right.
But just be found believing when it happens.
Amen. That's right.
He's a God who will not fail us.
Amen.
Amen. God richly bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. specifically says in there, don't be worried about whether you have faith or don't have faith, but just confess and agree with God's word. And so I found out that that absolutely works. You may have to wait years, but God will always come around and fulfill what he said. So, amen. How many enjoyed that?
Amen.
You know, God doesn't ask you to be something different than what you are. I'll explain what I mean by that. When Shamgar saw the need there, and inspiration struck him. God didn't inspire him to go out and find some swords or go out and do something different.
Nope.
He picked up something he was used to using every day.
That's right.
You might be a housewife. You might test motors. You might sell cars. You might program computers. Whatever it is. The whole point of saying that is whatever your walk of life is, when inspiration, faith strikes you, God will use you just how you are.
That's exactly right.
Because he doesn't need anything else. Just him and your faith. That's all right.
Amen.
And we just appreciate what Brother Henry shared with us this morning. As I sing one of them. We'll close it as we sing this song. One of them. That means glad you're one of them.